Thank you.
So a minor update to that. I think that I might not have updated that from a couple years ago. But I'm actually on the faculty now, and my interests have changed dramatically, as you can tell by this presentation. So I'm Ben Keeney. I'm at Geisel Orthopedics, and I have no official relationship to disclose unless you consider working in the Department of Orthopedics to be a relationship for this group. First, I'd like to thank my co-authors. Paul Hecht is a foot and ankle surgeon at Dartmouth, and Jim just introduced himself. Additional thanks to Beth Schaub at the American Podiatric Medical Association, from whom I received this data. I'm assuming everyone in this room knows who they are. So as a brief background that we all know, foot and ankle care is a huge problem in the United States and also vastly under-researched relative to the problem it presents. What some of the latest national data that I saw, and by latest that's 1997, is that 10% of all adults and 25% of the elderly actively receive care for foot and ankle problems in the United States each year, and that's receiving care, not just having problems. And despite it being a common issue, it has been documented that foot and ankle problems are rarely studied compared to other musculoskeletal conditions, particularly those of the spine and the moneymakers in the hip and the knee. That said, podiatric health services research is generally lacking, but it is improving slowly, hopefully with the assistance of everyone in this room. Unlike most other clinical providers, MDs especially, national aggregate provider data has not generally been available for podiatric health services research. And to do our best to rectify that, my team and I obtained complete membership survey data from the APMA to further ascertain on a descriptive level for now sociodemographics and practice patterns among actively practicing podiatrists in the United States. So APMA data are collected yearly throughout a podiatrist education, including during the education itself, and their career through yearly surveys. In addition to the survey data, we obtain demographic data from APMA, as well as board qualification and certification from the two main podiatric boards themselves, the ABPM and the ABPS. This data is also highly current, coming from April, May, and June of this year, which for a presentation like this is actually generally rare that you have stuff from within the year you're presenting. So to start with, there are a little over 24,000 podiatrists in the 2014 data set, and several of those are not applicable, and we exclude them, including 671 that are not practicing in the United States, despite being trained in the United States, about 1,500 that are, quote, not practicing, 1,300 that are still in school or residency at the time this data was collected, so they are not practicing, and about 200 that have unknown status. Hence, that leaves a little over 20,000 active U.S.-based and U.S.-trained podiatrists available for this study, according to these data. And we'll get into what that means later. So this is, again, a descriptive level of things that we don't really know too much about the podiatric population aggregately. So it may seem a little simplistic for now, but that's what we're looking at for what we didn't know before. So for board certification, and this I have just, do you have any sort of certification or qualification, yes or no, as reported by the boards, not self-reported, to avoid any potential accusations of gaming, which most providers out there know someone who has, according to research. And we find that 44% of active American podiatrists have any type of board qualification or certification. And I realize now on this screen that the blue is hard to read. So blue is no certification or qualification, and it is 56.2%. And ABPS only is 34.5%. ABPM only is 6.0%. And having both podiatric medicine and podiatric surgery certification is 3.4%. So less than half of active podiatrists have any type of board qualification. That said, however, 68.2% of active members of APMA do have some type of board qualification or certification. And as a comparison, overall board qualification or certification among American medical doctors is believed to be around roughly 75%, depending on the specialty. Secondly, gender. Again, this is new data for podiatrists to my knowledge, and currently about 1/4 of active podiatrists are females. That is low compared to most other medical professions. However, as we can see here, it is improving quite a bit. 40% of current podiatric trainees and 45% of podiatrists within the first 5 years of their career are women. And 5.7% of podiatrists not in practice, which I would presume would mean retired in most cases, are women. So hence, the retired population is 95% men. The early career is 55% men, and trainees are 60% men. So the profession as a whole is getting better for gender equity, but it still has a long way to go. As for podiatric medical education, you can see on the left-hand series of columns that 89% of all active podiatrists attended five different schools. In order of the highest count, it's Kent State, followed by Shoal, New York, Temple, California, Des Moines, and Barrie, and some of those, as you know, have changed names throughout, but this is sort of the location, not necessarily the title of the school. And the other category has 111, those most of their schools that have since shut down. You know, some of the numbers change a little bit. That just is the missingness within the data set. As for a year of podiatric medical school graduation, that is APMA's proxy for age as of this point. So you can see nothing too surprising there. The more recent graduates from 2004 to 2014 look like they're decreasing. That is not the case. Remember that we are only putting actively practicing. So those who had their degrees for just a couple of years are still in residency and would not be in this data as active podiatrists. Probably the biggest get from this data set is the podiatrist supply in a geographic variation sense. For those of you who know, this is sort of Dartmouth's bread and butter, for better or worse, and we pay a lot of attention to it. And as in most clinical professions, there is strong variation at the state level. New Jersey has the highest rate at 13.6 podiatrists per 100,000, while Mississippi is the lowest of the 50 states at 2.6, which is a five-fold difference in supply. And it's not just sort of a large states versus small states. If you look at the three biggest states by population, California, Texas, and New York, there is huge variation just among those three, where California and Texas are actually below the national rate of podiatrist supply, which is 6.5 per 100,000. Six states contain half of all active podiatrists. They are in order New York, California, Florida, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and New Jersey. And your first impression is probably that those six states are all big states. You'd expect them to have a lot of podiatrists. They all have high populations. However, these six states only have less than a third of the total U.S. population, but half of podiatrists. And if your second thought is, well, maybe it accounts for the elderly. There are a lot of old people in Florida, and you seek after them because most elderly need foot care. That's not the case either. Still, these six states contain less than a third of the elderly American population. And I have a list of all states at the end of the presentation if you want to look up yours. So other findings of note, 45% of American podiatrists are APMA members, as well as 52% for all podiatrists, including those retired and not practicing, et cetera. About 1% are in some form of federal service, and of those 1%, about 30% are in the military. And 1.3% of active podiatrists are under current financial hardship. I don't have any other details beyond that, but I thought that seemed somewhat high for those actively practicing. And 97% of U.S. trained podiatrists remain in the United States to practice. Of those remaining, most of them go into, in order, Canada, Australia, United Kingdom, Spain, Sweden, and France. So as you can imagine, this sort of data set has many limitations. Probably the biggest one that jumps to mind, which isn't immediately evident just by looking at these numbers, is that there's a huge amount of variation on how many podiatrists are actually out there. I was just talking with Jim about this. So these data are reporting that over 20,000 are actively practicing. And if you look at Medicare data, the physician compares that big data set that was released in April that got a lot of press attention. If you look that up, there were exactly 14,511 self-defined podiatrists that received some sort of Medicare payment for podiatry care. Doesn't mean there's only 14,000. It changed because that would include, you know, people such as in the VA or the military that wouldn't accept Medicare or those that do not accept insurance, but still the difference of 6,000 is pretty dramatic. And the APMA itself, I was told anecdotally, they were expecting roughly 16,000 active podiatrists. And to my knowledge, there are no known efforts currently to reconcile this level of variation on simply how many of us there are. And as a comparison, as I thought it's an interesting note, there are approximately 1,200 active foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons in the United States. So it's about a 1 to 17 ratio there nationwide, in case you were curious. Second limitation is that these 2014 data are missing some key values, and it's not that they're not asked for, it's just they're not included at all, and it would be great to have in a research sense, since this is membership survey data, not necessarily research rigorous collected data. The biggest one to me is probably living status. There's no are you dead or alive variable in there. And, of course, many of those 20,000 are people that probably have been deceased, and APMA simply doesn't know about it. There is no data for retirement versus not practicing. There is limited survey information on APMA non-members. There's no information today on residency and fellowship information, just podiatric medical school. And in a research sense, the most important one is that there's no NPI number, so that you cannot link this to other data sets unless you want to look people up by name for 20,000 times, which I've calculated would take approximately 2.5 months of full-time work. And there's also nothing on race and ethnicity among the members. Another, not necessarily a limitation, but a self-chosen thing is that this geographic variation was done at the state level rather than a hospital referral region or a hospital service area or other smaller markers. And the reason I did that so far is that scope of practice does vary at the state level, as I'm sure most of you know. And so that would be a key thing to do first before we get into the smaller geographic groups. The strengths, however, are many. This is the first known available nationwide podiatrist-specific data set. Board status and other variables are available directly from board groups, not necessarily self-reported from the physicians themselves, since all groups that we know of, physicians included, tend to exaggerate their skill set. This happens when you deal with real people. There's fairly high completeness in surveys among APMA members, and this is a gateway to several future research pathways. Oh, something disappeared there, I apologize. So in conclusion, podiatrists are not evenly distributed in the United States, raising concerns that some areas may be over or undersupplied, which has clear implications for the availability of foot and ankle care nationwide, especially considering that there are only 1,200 foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons. I did do a rough analysis of the orthopedic surgeon sense, and their distribution or density per state on the foot and ankle side actually does vary dramatically compared to podiatrists. That could be some future research there. Fewer than half of active podiatrists have any additional board qualification or certification, and females make up less than half of active podiatrists, but are increasing. So my next research steps related to this project are to publish it, determine other possible factors accounting for geographic variation, such as scope of practice variation, as I mentioned, population density, and comparing to other clinician groups, to link the APMA data to other available data sets, such as Medicare patient and clinician data, et cetera, to determine whether any of these variables, such as location, school of practice, years experience, is a predictor of complications, costs, and other outcomes for various procedures, and to compare podiatrists to foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons on those outcomes while adjusting for these variables. So, thank you. And Jim, are we doing questions now or at the end? I welcome questions. I also have state-by-state data, which I can quickly go through if you want. So I'll leave this up if anyone has any questions. Thank you. It as well. And of course, that raised the question, though, that among, so one thing I didn't get into is that among APMA members, there is sort of like, what do you do? Are you in practicing? Who generally employs you? And there are only a little over 100 podiatrists that report teaching as an activity. So if there is high sort of local people, as you'd expect, a lot of them are not teachers. They just stick around.
Right. It's probably related to the density of residency training programs around.
Although residents are not included here. Since they would not be active.
But they've completed their residency there and they've stayed
yes. here. So that is that, I fully expect that would be a reason. However, that would further justify the fact that they're undersupplied elsewhere. Yes, sir. Their population count in general is declining quite dramatically. You could say they shot themselves in the foot. Sorry. Yeah, yes, sir. Yes. Well, my first answer, that would be the logistical problem of getting it from all 50 states. That would be quite a bureaucratic challenge, and it also would be a different question. So that would be among licensed podiatrists. So that is a valid research thing. I would recommend that that should be pursued, but it wasn't as easy, and not it would be much more time-consuming than getting the data directly from APMA.
You'd also have to, people are multiple, like multiple state licenses. So you'd have to do it.
I agree. Yep. I fully agree with you. And one of the things that was good about this, that this acknowledges that there is a challenge. There are discrepancies here that you would not expect to find. And until we can improve the data or go to all 50 states, it's probably going to stay that way for now. So as I mentioned, I'm not a podiatrist, I'm a researcher, but podiatrists could probably mention better than I could whether scope of practice at a state level does vary. It's my understanding it does fairly dramatically still to this day. Is that correct? Yeah. Yes.
Did you notice any trend as far as the percentage of podiatrists with board certification? Has it been changing over the years, or did you know podiatrists
right. So the data is not collected in that fashion. It's more as of 2014 rather than a separate per year, at least with what I have.
Some surveys we've done, if we look at the data, when we look at it by year of graduation, there's a definite increase in the percentage of board certification related to, you know, more recent graduates. So, yeah, there is a trend to see. I would say if you looked at graduates to say,
and we have seen that in this data. I didn't show it, but if you do a simple cross tabulation, like Jim said, by year of graduation group and board certification, the highest group right now would be grads who finished their schooling in the later 2000s, simply because the newest guys are still in school or residency. So it does seem to be a trend, but the data, I don't have different versions of data to get that in a longitudinal sense. So here's the first slide, and here's the next. I have a couple more slides, please. So. If anyone wants to just quickly shout out a particular state, I can find it, but otherwise they're here and available if it is of interest. And then if you get down to the tricklers, so other U.S. territories would be like the Virgin Islands and stuff like that. So, thank you very much.